Blog Talk Radio.
Testing 1 2 1 2. Okay, I guess it is. Good evening. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 p.m. on the West Coast, and you're listening to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. And today is, let's see, the 22nd of July, 2023. About to go into August. The hottest month of the year in the South. At least that's what we've been told. But it seems like there's been a lot of record-breaking temperatures in July throughout the Southeast and all in on the West Coast, Texas, just record-breaking heat. And yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about that, this record-breaking heat, because, you know, people are saying, well, that's climate change. That's also That's global warming. Which is it? Climate change, or global warming, or a combination of both? You know, I'm really tripping off how folks want to debate the whole thing. But things are changing. I'm sure you feel it, and I'm sure you see it. There's a lot of stuff that is changing. Okay, so in the first hour, you know, we have to do our political moment, because I'm sure all of you guys know about, well, maybe not all of you, but for the ones that don't know, Donald Trump has been, you know, the investigation goes on and will be looked at being indicted very shortly with the case. What is this, his fourth one? His fourth possible indictment? Fourth? I mean, you know, when we talk about historical stuff, this is really historical. I've never looked back and seen anything that, you know, past presidents have done other than Nixon, which, you know, he opted out and pardoned and this and the other. But this is crazy. And I know you guys are probably saying, oh, Michael, you said that last week. Well, every week there's something that's going on. And I think that with the Trump situation, it's time for people to wake up and like, look, this dude is toast. He's toast. Even Bill Barr said the word toast, okay? Bill Barr, which I'm not a big fan of his, you know, but he was part of it too. But, I mean, as I said last week, and I'll say this week when we get into the conversations and what is about to happen or supposed to happen, it's where everybody that was all for Trump are realizing that, hey, look, either you tell the truth or you can be, you know, charged with conspiracy, charged with a whole bunch of stuff and go to jail too. Or better yet, go to jail and maybe he won't. You know, that's another thing that people are looking at. You guys were puppets. You were pawns for what he wanted and still wants. And I think of quite a few of them are waking up to the reality of where it's either your ass or his ass. Which do you choose? Okay. Also, we're going to, and if you guys saw the itinerary, which was posted about the shooting in Las Vegas, yeah, we're going to touch on that because there's a new song, a new music video that was released by an artist, a country artist named Jason Aldean. I don't know if it's pronounced Aldean or Aldean, but he put out a video called Try That in a Small Town. Woo, this is pretty deep. It's a pretty deep song. And I'm going to play the song so you guys can hear. And prior to me doing that, and prior to me, you know, doing that, if you want to, you can go ahead and pull up the lyrics and read them. But Jason was at that shooting that occurred in Vegas on stage right when it started. So when I play the song, you listen to what these lyrics are. And by the way, it was on CMT, Country Music Television. And not surprising to me, but it was pulled. But to some people, they feel like, why? Why they pulled this video? Okay. Plus, we're going to talk about Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States, who thankfully made a visit. We haven't seen or heard from her in a little while. To Florida, based on what's happening in Florida about the school curriculum that the governor of Florida is going to edit when it comes to Black history. Interesting. A couple other things we're going to touch throughout the next 2 hours. So without further ado, let me go ahead and open up the mic to the longtime co-host along with me, my ride or die here on the TMGS, the one, the only, Miss Janet Davis.
Good evening, Michael. Happy Saturday to you. Yeah, ride or die. We're almost like a married couple. We argue.
People think we are.
Makeup.
Supposed to think we are. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So, wow, we got a lot of stuff.
We were.
Yeah. Definitely. You know, but what do you think? I mean, whew, we got a lot to talk about, so let's get it cranking. And before we get it started, I definitely want to do this. Yeah, I didn't want to do this. I want to open up the mic for another co-host all the way in L.A. He's always saying, Mike, there you go. There you go. You open up a can of worms, Mike. There you go. So you got some shit started, Mike. The one, the only, Mr. Timon Schill.
Hello,
hey,
Timon. Hello, Jan. How are you? I'm out here in hell. Where y'all at? I'm in hell. How you at? It's hot as fish grease out here in L.A. I'm outside now. I'm outside.
Can I ask you a question?
What's that, man?
Can I have you tried to fry an egg on the sidewalk yet?
Brother, hey, you got people getting 30-degree burns in their own car.
I heard.
Hot metal in their car. Their hands getting burned. Kids getting burned. This is the only place where homeless people explode.
Oh, wow.
Homeless people out so far out there at the time, homeless people out there exploding when you talk to them. Boom, the shit.
Where'd they go?
Yeah. You know.
Where did he go?
Yeah, I saw a huge
woman
set herself
on
fire.
He was standing in front of me, and all of a sudden, boom, he was gone.
Yeah, I saw.
I know. We shouldn't be laughing about that, but I did see something on the internet, bro. I did see this though, real quick. A woman actually baked bread in her mailbox.
Yeah, Mike. I saw a huge woman set herself. I saw a huge woman set herself on fire running after a bus. The heat and the sweat from between her legs, and that like a stick of fire. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Luckily she went past a sprinkle system and it put her out. You know, you're that big, you shouldn't be running. Walk. Hot out here now. You know, you got to know that shade.
So the sprinklers were still working?
Yeah, man. Somebody, she had to go past somebody put her out, she'd be burning. That's why we have forest fires happening right now. People up there in the woods.
What is the temperature in L.A.? What is the temperature right now?
Well, you know I live in the valley. So in the valley, you know, it's a lot harder. Now, when I was in L.A., I was in Hollywood earlier. It was like probably 85, 86, you know, out here. Right now, it's about 100.
About 100.
It would have been 110,
105, 107. The index is always hotter than the temperature, almost sometimes like 20 degrees difference.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But now, see, from me being from L.A., I know L.A. is more of a dry heat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here in the South, it's humidity that kicks your butt, all right? They'll tell you,
yeah.
And the temperature is going to be 96. That's what they'll tell you. But then what happens when you, thank you. What happens is what they tell you is that, but with the humidity, it will feel like 102 or 150. You know, it depends on what the humidity index is, right?
What you're saying is that You're going to get bothered when your underwear is all stuck in your butt. Your clothes are stuck to your body. You're sweating under both armpits. You didn't add enough deodorant. You took 3-4 showers. You just look like you just walked out of a shower. And also,
right.
When you get later on that night, the mosquitoes are going to tear your ass up, boy. The mosquitoes ain't no joke out there in the South.
You know what? You hit it right on the head. I'm telling you, like 3 days ago, a mosquito bit me. And I saw a little welt. And I was like, oh, okay. It's just a little bite. It's going to itch. Man, I woke up the next morning. I looked like the elephant man with one arm just swollen like hell, you know.
Yep.
Like, what the hell is this? I mean, it's that bad, right?
Good thing
it's that bad.
In Florida. No, Florida got the mosquitoes that look like birds. You don't want to go down there. Yeah, Florida bad. Unless you got them flying cockroaches down there, fly around, pick your kids up.
Yeah.
You don't want to go down there, man.
Well, Georgia has
flying roaches
here in Georgia.
They do?
They got flying roaches.
Tell me that. Somebody told me those make good to put on when you're going fishing. Them flying, that's just shoes. You mess around, step on a flying cockroach. You mean, hey, bro, don't do that. What are you doing? Don't do that. That's too big for me. I might going back to East St. Louis, Illinois. If I'm gonna mess around with them.
You know, that's so true. But okay, let's keep it moving because it's been really hot everywhere, you guys. And we're gonna talk a little bit about climate change, but let's get to the political side of things right now, okay? And whenever we do that, what we do, we make sure we play the theme music. This Week in Politics. One more time. You guys are...
Is Donald Trump, once he got this letter that he is a person of interest, is he afraid?
Only Donald can tell you that.
Is Donald Trump going to go to jail?
Well, only Donald Trump knows that. Because he knows everything, right? But what got me is when he said, I did this for you. You did what for me or for your followers? You lied? You took documents? You did it for who? And I found that really interesting that he actually stood on the stage and said that, you know, to get some sympathy, I guess. I mean, while hundreds of other people have gone to jail for the January 6th insurrection, Donald Trump is just going in the courtroom, being read his charges, and going home. These people are locked up. But he did it for them. I find that, I mean, that's mind-boggling to me. It really is. You folks did something. And then someone had the nerve to say that Donald Trump never told those people to go to the Capitol. Okay? He never told them.
Where you get that
I'm trying
Michael?
To say, I'm trying, I'm sorry. I'm
just, no,
I, you
man,
know, I just, I just, I just try to
oh,
do the research a little bit as much as I can. Okay? I mean, when I hear folks say that, I'm like, hold on. You sure he didn't say that? I mean, I don't get it. He said that. In fact, let me let you all hear it. And you can't say it was AI. You surely can't say it was, oh, someone using AI. We saw the video.
Now it is up to Congress to confront this egregious assault on our democracy. And after this, we're going to walk down, and I'll be there with you. We're going to walk down. We're going to walk down. Anyone you want, but I think right here, we're going to walk down to the Capitol.
Hold on. How many times did he say, we're going to walk? Hold on. The killer part is, and I'll be with you.
In spirit. But his ass wasn't going to walk side by side with them folks.
Well, he was trying. He was trying, but the security guards wouldn't let him. That's the Secret
right.
Service.
Yeah, he wanted. Yeah, he wanted to get out the vehicle and walk. Yeah, that part I do know is definitely where there was folks who testified that he definitely wanted to walk with them. But you know, I mean, come on now. Some people saying that he never told them to go to the Capitol. Right there, that audio tells you. Yes, he did. He said, we're going to walk down to the Capitol. Okay?
And we're going to fight like hell, like our lives depend on it. Because if we don't fight, we're not going to have a country anymore.
And he was willing to throw his own vice president, not under the bus, but on a podium to be hung. Because I'm sure he saw that. That was constructed, you know, there on the Capitol grounds. So again, I'm trying to wonder what is this country coming to when the individual and everybody says, or everybody on the right says, this is all the Democrats doing. No, a lot of Republicans have a lot to do with this. And like I said in the beginning, they know they've been duped. They know that the grand scheme didn't work. Now they have to save their ass. Am I right or wrong? Janet, you want to respond to that?
You're right. I it's unbelievable. I'm still, it's mind-boggling to hear him say he's the only, Trump, he says to the people, he's the only thing that's keeping the people, he's standing in between the government and the people. He's protecting them. But really, they're protecting him. He's saving his own tail. He's not protecting anybody.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you have a response to that? What, you know, I mean,
well, what's happening is he's trying to play victim, okay? And the whole game plan is they're coming for me, but basically they're coming for you. So he's trying to say that if they get me, you next. You know, let them get me, like he'd already told them that. Then he turned around and he stated that one of the guys, when they were interviewing him, that if they lock me up, that would be very dangerous. That would be a very dangerous thing to do if I end up going to jail. It's like, no, it ain't. No, what you're saying is, he said, there's going to be a lot of angry people, hundreds of 50 of thousands of people are going to be angry. Because you're like, no, there's 30%.
Is that a threat?
Yeah, that would be a threat. Basically, that's the same thing he said. And so 30% of the electorate, right, no matter what he does, are going to back him, okay? Because what he's selling is fear. He's been selling this fear for a very long time. And I don't care who he is. There are a lot of that. He's selling this whole masculinity, this whole machismo that, ooh, we need this man. No, dude, you're a punk. He's a draft dodger. He didn't go to war. He didn't sign up. He's just like John Wayne. He's a draft dodger. These guys are not who they say that they are. They're charlatans. And if you can't decipher, Mike, how you're being conned, I'm not going to say that Biden's perfect, but I guarantee you this. And I don't know if you guys have heard on MSNBC when Bob Woodard, and they played them tapes, and he talks about that pandemic. And when he played that, talk about how he was talking about, I knew it was serious, but I didn't want to start a panic. Oh, you started a panic, fool. You didn't stand up for us, and you let these people die. He got blood on his hands. There were a lot of people that did not need to die because this fool did not know how to manage. And they asked him, "Do you take any blame for anything? I don't take blame
for
nothing."
He said no.
I said that. He said no. So there you go.
Yeah. Nobody is above the law. He's even said that. But yet and still, he's trying to place himself above the law, you know, thinking that he wants people to be afraid to convict him. But we got to bring them down because we do not want to lose our democracy. And if this nut get back in, he's not getting out.
Well, what he's going to do is pardon himself.
Yeah.
he's on part. That's the whole game plan. That's why the only way he can beat this.
I had three discussions with the president that I can recall. One was on November 23rd, one was on December 1st, and one was on December 14th. And I've been through sort of the give and take of those discussions. And in that context, I made it clear I did not agree with the idea of saying the election was stolen and putting out this stuff, which I told the president was bullshit. And, you know, I didn't want to be a part of it, and that's one of the reasons that went into me deciding to leave when I did. I observed, I think it was on December 1st, that, you know, you can't live in a world where the incumbent administration stays in power based on its view, unsupported by specific evidence, that there was fraud in the election.
That's it right there, Mike. You just played it. That was his boy. That's his boy that kept him out of. That's what kept him out of when he got impeached the second time.
That's right.
That's what kept him out.
That's right.
And then he said, "Dude, I can't cover you on this. You lost." He told him, "I don't even know why." And that's why people are mad. That why isn't this fool in jail right now? But Janet. This is where Garland got in trouble because he took too long to go get it.
That's right. He should have put a special counsel in place in the beginning. But they were trying not to be political, and that's why they were holding back. You know, it's sad. It's sad.
Right. So yeah. And what Cannon did with this thing on May 20th, she got away with another one because so she put it in the middle. Now you know they're gonna try to hold up again. They called Trump the gingerbread man. Because remember, the gingerbread man has never been caught. And so what he's planning on doing is that y'all ain't going to be able to catch me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's going to try to string this out as long as he can because he's the front runner. That's why nobody is speaking up. Because if they find this man guilty, the Republicans know they can cancel Christmas. They asses are done.
Trump,
they know it.
Trump started running for office as soon as he got in office the first time. He, all the way through, he was constantly having rallies like he was running for office. And as soon as he had a chance this time, he jumped right up and said, I'm running for office. He thinks that's what's going to keep him from going to jail by saying, well, you can't do anything to me because I'm running for office. You can impeach a president. You can lock
right.
You can lock somebody up.
Right. But you know what, Janet?
The
killing elite, Mike, what the killing elite is, all this money that he raised from this whole thing, he said that money was supposed to go toward, you know, that they raised for his campaign. That money's been going to pay all his debts. That's fraud, Mike.
Yeah.
Right. His defense.
Yeah.
It's going for his defense. Okay. So hold on a minute. Okay. I know I said only had one more, but, you know, I have a bunch of them. I have the greatest hits of Donald Trump here. But, I mean, what kills me is that people don't believe what they're hearing. It's like Chris Tucker said, do you hear the words that are coming out of my mouth?
Right.
These are the words that came out of the former president's mouth. Check out this.
So let me ask you this question, because I think this is the next logical question, because the president of the United States, you, unlike, say, Hillary Clinton in her case,
right.
A president has the power to declassify.
Correct.
Okay. You had said on Truth Social a number of times you did declassify.
I did declassify, yeah.
Okay. Is there a process? What was your process to declassify?
It doesn't have to be a process, as I understand it. You know, there's different people say different things, but as I understand it, it doesn't have to be. If you're the president of the United States, you can declassify just by saying it's declassified, even by thinking about it, because you're sending it to Mar-a-Lago or to wherever you're sending it. And there doesn't have to be a process. There can be a process, but there doesn't have to be. You're the president. You make that decision. So when you send it, it's declassified. I declassified everything. Now, I declassified things, and we were having a lot of problems with NARA. You know, NARA is a radical left group of people running that thing, and when you send documents over there, I would say there's a very good chance that a lot of those documents will never be seen again. There's also a lot of speculation because of what they did, the severity of the FBI coming and raiding Mar-a-Lago. Were they looking for the Hillary Clinton emails that were deleted, but they are around someplace?
Now Mike, you see the switcheroonie that he tried to pull? The Clinton email? Okay, my thing is, they went through that. Hillary didn't get convicted. That's over what? It's been, what, 7-8 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
and
gone.
Barr.
That's 7-8.
Yeah, Barr. They've been looking at the email for Hillary Clinton, and Barr could never find anything. His special person he put in place couldn't find anything. But yet and still, they're trying to, I guess they're deflecting, you know, to try and keep it off of Trump. They're trying to say it's Biden, it's Hunter. You know, they don't have anything on Joe Biden, so it's Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden didn't go to China and get 8 trademarks. Hunter Biden did not go to Saudi Arabia and get $2 billion. Hunter Biden didn't have Saudi Arabia have a live at a special golf club, you know, trying to, you know, mess with our PGA. You know, Hunter Biden didn't have a hotel in Washington, D.C. for pay to play. Hunter Biden didn't take antique lamps from Israel since 2019 and have not given them back.
I saw that article, and that's kind of interesting. But see, what, you know, as you said a key word, to deflect what's happening to the former president. It's a deflection. It's time buying. And that's something that I was talking to a friend of mine about, is that whereas you know that Donald Trump is trying to, and his defense team is trying to hold off all these trials that are coming up until after the election. And it looks like many of the judges are like, nah, I don't think so.
Now remember,
now, can I just say this and then I'll let you guys respond. There have been many federal trials that have been held off for a period of time, you know. But I think, you know, in this situation, if and that's a big if, Donald Trump wins the election, which I truly doubt, that, you know, it would be a push for him to be pardoned, or, you know, him to change the whole, you know, the whole landscape of politics to the point that he could do whatever he wanted to do.
They're calling it expunging the records. They're trying to expunge his records.
Right. You can't do that. They already stated you can't expunge those impeachments. There's no such law.
That's right.
He's impeached.
Right.
He's impeached. No, he can't expunge anything, and he is the way. And one of the main guys is, you know, I'm not a big fan of his, but he's telling the truth. It's Chris Christie. Chris Christie indicted. What's his name? Kissinger's father, Jared Kissinger. Jared Kissinger. He indicted Kissinger's father and locked his ass up. But Trump pardoned him. Pardoned him. That way he could go in and finish it. He said, "You want me to get this $2 billion? You need to get my daddy out." So that's how his daddy got off his deal, because Trump pardoned him. You know, they need to understand that what that family did when it all said and done, when they finished, when Jack Smith is done, they're going to find out, because they're digging into all his financials, they're digging into everything that this man did. When they're done, this sucker will never be able, if they play their cards right, he'll never be able to walk anywhere near. He won't be able to go nowhere near Washington, D.C. again. He won't ever think of ever running. Because now Christie is backed by the Koch brothers. The Koch brothers don't really like Trump, and neither does McConnell. Now, if they have their way, they want this fool gone, because this is that Tea Party crap, you know, that's how we got all these loonies in. You know, that's how we got the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the MAGA.
Right, but Trump became MAGA. Marjorie Taylor Greene is MAGA. Before that, it was the Tea Party. But after Trump got in, it was MAGA. America great again. Yeah. Right.
So basically, they just switched brands, right? Is that what you say? They just switched brands or names?
Yeah.
But it's pretty much almost the same thing. Donald Trump wants to run
because of Obama. That came about because of Obama. Yeah.
Okay, so let me switch gears here a little bit. And first and foremost, I want to say I'm sorry for the folks that are listening online. I know you don't like to call in, but you can go to the chat room. So go to TMGS on Blog Talk Radio. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/TMGS. And you can drop into the chat room, post your questions or comments. I will read them on the air. Or you can call the show, okay, at 516-531-9861. Hit the number 1, let me know that you have a question or comment, and I will open up your mic. So let me switch gears real quick, Janet, and I want you to pull up your notes here. Speaking of politics, Kamala Harris made a special guest appearance this week, because we haven't seen or heard from her in a little while, have we? And she went to Florida.
No, we haven't.
We've seen her in the office standing there smiling, you know, on certain events, but she went to Florida, and she went to a sorority, and she spoke based on what DeSantis is doing, right, where he is actually changing the curriculum of Black history in all the schools in the state of Florida. Totally changing.
Yeah.
Slavery, well, let me finish this part. To say that slavery, for most Black folks, were beneficial. Really,
they
rough.
Benefited from being slaves. Yeah.
They benefited. That was beneficial to Black people during slavery times. Oh, okay. So when you hung my cousin in the damn tree, you dragged my uncle down the street, that was beneficial to us, sir. Thank you, master. Has he lost his damn mind?
Well, Mike, now you do know that that's a con, because, Mike, all he's doing, he's playing the culture war thing, all right? He's playing that, why would a white man want to control the narrative of Black history? Why would I want to learn Black history from a white man? What do you know about Black history? What do you know about Black culture? Not a damn thing. You can't tell nobody about Jim Crow. Matter of fact, there are still people today who are still alive, who lived through Jim Crow. There are still people today, they in their their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, some of them are 100, like those people for Black Wall Street. They are still alive. They know what you did to their people. So how in the hell you going to go and tell these people that, oh, I'm going to come to you and have you knowing that the daughters of the Confederate, who are the main people who put up those statues of all those Confederate soldiers, they're the same ones who put the leaders of the Ku Klux Klan statues in the courthouses and everything else. They put them dudes there because they wanted to continue to push white supremacy. They're the ones. Mm-hmm. There's no way you can push that. You know, now one thing I know about these so-called MAGA Republicans, it wouldn't matter what you told them. They ain't going to believe it. Because Trump has turned Washington, D.C., he turned the White House and everything else into a reality TV show. It's a reality TV show. As long as the conflict is still going, Mike, hey, people are watching. They want this dude. And, hey, he used all that as a distraction. That $250 million that he made, he made it off the backs of those poor people, poor white folks' donations.
Yes, he did.
He cleaned them out.
And they're still sending him money. They're still sending him money. Here's Lindsey Graham crying.
That's what,
send him money. If you can't send him money, pray for him.
And that's what Simon had said before, and you had said before, is that where, you know, they think it's, well, you know what? It's, as it was already said, it's not for his campaign, it's for his defense, you know, against all the charges that he has. It's not for his campaign. But I've noticed that every time I've seen clips of former President Trump, he's not campaigning for 2024. He's bitching and complaining. Oh, that rhymed, didn't it? Not campaigning, I'm bitching and complaining. That's the truth. And people tune in and listen to his bitch and moan. But he's not saying what he's going to do different or better for the country. I found that kind of interesting. But now with DeSantis, what he's doing, though he's points behind, many points behind, I think it was you, Tommy, who said that where The guy who's the senator over one of the poorest states in the union, we all know who that is, been one of the poorest states in the union, if not the poorest state, known as Kentucky, right? He's been pretty quiet, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's been very quiet. But again, I'm just you know who I was talking about. That's Granny from the Beverly Hillbillies to me, because they surely look like they're related. I'm just putting it out there. I'm sorry, they just look like they could be brother and sister, you know, cousins. I don't know, but he does look like Granny. Now, come on, y'all, look at the pictures side by side. But he's been quiet. You mentioned Christie is one of the ones, though, that is definitely attacking Donald Trump. Look at his numbers. They're way low. So, you know,
right.
I kind of question this, and you guys can respond. Why run for an office when you look at these numbers, you're like, you know, 50 points behind? What are your chances? And how does that really affect? Because if you do have folks, does that take away from the leader? Of course it does, or the top candidate at the moment. But what does that do to the party? You got all these people running for the same office, and you know you ain't going to win.
Well, Mike, the thing is, Christie's is now in number three. What's his name? Your boy. DeSantis, he's fired half his people on his campaign because ain't nobody buying all that stuff because he ain't covered policy yet. Trump ain't even covered policy, and so when you get to doing all this stuff, right, it's still gonna come down to what's going on. The bad part about him, about the good part about Christie knows, he's known Trump for over 20 years. And he's sitting down, and he's going to go word for word of all the dirt that this man has done. Also, Obama, when Trump came into office, Obama had redid. Trump came into an economy. Remember, Obama got the economy in 2008. It was messed up. Obama fixed the economy and fixed the job market for his ass. Do you know that the GOP spent more money?
$3 trillion
than the Democrats. Okay, so all that's talking about we want to cut spend. No. Y'all spent more, and he cut taxes for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
He cut taxes
and
for the rich.
Wrong.
That didn't benefit.
Yeah. And try to get rid of programs for the less fortunate. That's all he did. He undid a lot of things that Obama did by executive orders, and he tried to get rid of Medicare, Medicaid, food stamps, anything that was for people that was less fortunate, he tried to get rid of.
Yeah,
Social
and he told them that he would not only one of the promises he made when he came to office, I'm going to get rid of Obamacare, and I'm going to build this wall. The wall, he only built 50 miles. That's it. And then that money, that's why Bannon is in trouble, his cohort, because the money that they raised off build the wall, they put that money in their pocket. And that's why they did it. So I'm telling you right now, when Jack is done, took all the info from the January 6th committee, and they put that puppy, they put all that in there to get him.
But you know
so
what?
All that, yeah.
This is the thing. They are right now looking at the electors, the fake electors scheme.
Right.
But they're not going to just look at, Smith is not just looking at that. He's going to go after who? The ones who signed that petition? All those flunkies in the House? They're going to be going down. Mm-hmm.
Those fake electors, and I saw that over. Yeah, I think it's like 10 or 12 of them, something along that line.
16. 16.
Okay. they're going to go after. So, again, I come back to the whole thing of where if it's being investigated correctly under the law, why do people think that this is all stupid? Why they think that this is all not legal? I mean, even Republicans are saying. Even Republicans are saying, yeah, that was stupid for them to come up with that plan, that ideal, to come up with fake electors and a fake electoral college.
Now,
I have to do that again,
Gavin. Mike, did you see, though, they show the fake electors trying to get into, and the woman said, well, we're the electors. They said, no, the electors are already here.
Yeah,
said, no,
that was
Michigan. That was in Michigan. And they said, no, we're already here. No, they're not. No, you're not coming in. They had three law enforcement officers standing right there letting them know, oh, hell no. And that's why they got them. And they're getting ready to go. Every state that had fake electors, they gonna round their
Georgia.
Asses up.
Yep, Arizona.
And I'm waiting on Fani. I want Fani to go. And Fani's supposed to come out. Your girl out there in Georgia supposed to come out there to them and get them. She's supposed to get them by the first week of August. I think Trump gonna get indicted next week.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because
she told the judge to clear the calendar because there was going to be a lot of stuff going on, and it's not just for Trump. But like you said, fake electors, and it could be Lindsey Graham. It's quite a few people that she's going to be indicting.
Yeah, they might as well get ready. And that's why she needs to get started because, you know, Janet, they're trying to remove her.
Oh, yeah, they tried, but it didn't work the first time. But they've been trying.
Yeah. But, hey, let me tell you something. Oh, and let me tell you, your boy Tommy Tuberville, who's also, this is connected to Trump, Tommy Tuberville, he's holding up all those different commanders that's supposed to be taking
that's
over
right.
the Army and all and the Air Force.
And then
guess
and the
what?
Marines.
Those dudes are
mm-hmm.
brothers. Those are all black dudes who are about to take over. The dude for the Marines, he's black.
Mm-hmm.
The dude for the Air Force, black.
Black.
Dude for the,
that's why he's doing it.
For the Navy, they got, I think it's a sister or somebody about to come up, black. He's blocking all that. They do not want, and that's, see, Biden's trying to make up for the stuff that he did back in the day against black folks, and he's trying to clean this thing up. And he bringing in all
well,
the black
folks. Well,
he's
been doing a great job. They said Biden has done more than any president in the United States, especially the last few that has been there, you know, because he has. He's got a rainbow coalition in his cabinet. You know, everybody that he has put in office is a minority. You know, he's got some whites in there, but it's mostly minorities. I think he's doing a great job, you know.
I
and
see, what's her
Taylor
name,
Green.
Keisha Bottoms? I think Keisha Bottoms is coming back. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But then people question her leadership as, you know, the mayor of Atlanta. But, yeah, but she's coming back to his administration.
But she did a good job when she was a mayor of Atlanta, you know, because, I mean, COVID made a lot of people question people, you know. But look what Trump did. He tried to sweep it under the rug constantly, all the way through. The only thing they tried to do was sell trichloroquine, the pills.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
everybody
yeah.
who invested in that, they were peddling that. But they weren't peddling nothing else. You know, Obama had all the machines and everything for the respirators all calibrated. He leaves office, Trump didn't do anything. And so by the time COVID came out, all that stuff had to be recalibrated. It was not in working condition.
When you listen to the Bob Woodard tapes, Navarro and his other dude had told him what's coming. And he sat there.
Sure did.
They told him what was coming. They told him, Mike. that this is coming, and he sat on his hands. I'm telling you, he is not the leader you want. This man is all about himself. And wait a minute.
Now,
that last little bit.
Now, come on now. I mean, I think his ideal of injecting ourselves with bleach would have worked. I think Clorox would have made a lot of damn money if we would have injected ourselves with bleach. I mean, because he had to look over to the lady on his right and say, you guys are looking at that, right? Mm-hmm. And she had a look of disgust on her face.
That
like,
was
what
Bert.
The hell are you
that was
talking
Bert.
About? Mm-hmm.
That was
what the hell
I want to take them scars, Janet. I want to take them scars and choke her ass because she didn't say a word. And then after she got out of office, now you want to speak. I said, what are you speaking now for? You knew this boy was an idiot.
She saw what Trump did with Fauci. When Fauci contradicted Trump and then he sat him down, I guess she didn't want to sit down. But she should have did the same thing.
Hold on. Inject ourselves with bleach. Why not just drink the damn bottle and die?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I going to inject myself with Clorox?
Hey, wait a minute. You know that boy died, don't you? You remember that guy died from taking that chloroquine shit? That dude died.
Yeah.
He took that stuff and killed his ass. His wife said, I don't think you ought to do that. Well, Trump said it's blooming, blooming, blooming. He drank that crap and it killed his ass.
But they were drinking the one that was in with the fish tank, and they thought it was the same thing.
That's the one he drank. That's the one he drank. I told you. But see, Mike, you know what? You can't fix stupid. I know you want but you can't fix stupid. The boy is dumb as two left shoes.
Okay, so let's look at this here, though. But the whole thing about the January 6th, I definitely want to look at that. You know, if you're, you know, a lot of folks are saying, well, he didn't do this. He didn't. Well, I just played the tape of the audio of when he said, we are going to march down to the Capitol. We are going to walk down to the Capitol, right? Okay. Timon, if you and I are in a car and you say, hey, man, let's go rob this bank, I'd be like, I don't know, man. I don't think that's a good idea. Well, just take me to the bank, you know, and wait for me. I'm not sure you're going to really do it, but I'm thinking you just going to get some money out. But then you come running out and jump in the car and say, drive, drive, drive. Oh, let me finish. I'm an accessory to a crime, correct?
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So people forget. Here's something. But let me say this. But people forget that people died that day.
They sure did.
On those steps and inside the building. People died. And someone must be accountable. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And the president of the United States was watching this. His own daughter, which has been documented, had contacted him and said, hey, look, you got to say something. You got to play this down, whatever you got to do. You got to do this.
Because
otherwise,
she was there.
Just sat there and watched them do this.
Yeah, trying
well,
to talk to
still,
him.
Still and again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but still and again. So at that point, aren't you, according to what they say, an accessory to a crime?
Yes, and Michael, when they tried to get him to make a statement, he had to go over it several times because he didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. So, you know, he wanted to make sure only certain words were put in there. You know, that's why he said, go home. I love you.
Mm-hmm. He didn't want to hurt the MAGA gang's feelings. That's exactly, yeah. That's the way they had to rehearse it more than twice. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe not Mitch, McCarthy, okay, had even tried to contact him about what was going on, right? So
it's where
you are the leader of the free world and you had every opportunity to take control of the situation. You could have called, okay, the National Guard, immediately. You didn't have to go through all this other this red tape to do it. You're the president of the United States, and there's anarchy going on.
He created the situation.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is that I'm trying to share the fact of where there are people who feel like he did the right thing. He shouldn't have done that. There are people who are praising him for what had happened on that day, and that's wrong because there are people who are dead due to his direction and what he wanted to do. Now, a lot of folks say, oh, you just hate Donald Trump, Michael Gay. You just hate him. I don't hate nobody. I just dislike people's actions. Hating is a waste of time for me and energy. But I can dislike your actions. And that's all good with me. But I feel like what has been brought forward, what I see with my own eyes, because I'm not going to buy that crap that was told to us earlier in this administration about alternative facts. There's no alternative so damn ever of what happened on January the 6th. Not at all. And it just amazes me, and I can't say amused, but I'm just amazed at the ignorance of folks who feel like it's all fake. And that's the key word. Everything right. is fake when it comes to, you know, what you see.
Can I say something when you finish?
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Trump, he has told everybody when he gets back in office, and all the departments and things that he still had something was out to get him, he's getting rid of. We are getting ready to have, he wants to turn it into an autocrat country where he's going to be like a king and he's going to have the final say-so over everything.
Of course.
So
of course. That,
if
that
he gets back
expected.
In, we're in for a rude awakening. So people need to get out and vote. Vote
and
like
the
you
thing
said,
is
vote
that
like you never thought before. Vote like you your lives depend on it.
And I can't. I really can't follow a guy who believes that Putin and the leader of North Korea are good guys. I just can't. And not because of the historical history of, you know, North and South Korea. And, you know, if you ever, I mean, because this is what I do. If you ever look at the map of the world and look at a photo of the world at night, different countries from satellite, right? And you see where there's lights on all over the United States, right, and other countries. But you look at North Korea, it's dark as hell.
Yeah.
Those people are, you know, they're, I mean, damn, how do you survive every day? You can't turn on no lights? You have no electricity? I mean, And of course, as we all know, that's dictatorship.
They don't have food.
Russia is dictatorship. So how can you, as the President of the United States, agree with a person when you go and ask them a question, and it's just like a kid. Did you eat that cake? No. And they got crumbs all over their damn face. Well, I believe them. How the hell can you really get food like that? Because that's what Donald Trump did. He said he asked Putin, and Putin said, I have nothing to do with it. And you believe him.
But
just because
he
said it.
Because Putin said, yes, I did. Yes, I did. I ain't going to never forget that one.
Okay.
Right after he said that, Putin told everybody he did do it. Yes, he did.
After
he didn't like Hillary Clinton.
Okay. So that's, you know, that should be scary enough. Now, let me move forward real quick because we're getting to the top of the hour. The time's now 6:59 p.m. on the East Coast. There's this country artist named Jason Aldean or Aldean, and he released a music video, I think it was last Saturday or the Saturday before him, of a song that's called Try That in a Small Town. Let me give you guys a little background here first. If you recall the mass shooting, which I believe is probably the worst mass shooting in U.S. history, right?
the Las Vegas shooting where 58 people were killed and almost 500 were injured. And that happened, as you know, in Las Vegas. The gunman was in the Mandalay Bay Hotel. No one even questioned the suitcases and suitcases of firearms that he was bringing into the building. And there was this big concert going on across the way. David Aldean was on stage when the shooting started. I'm sorry, Jason was on stage when the shooting started. I didn't know this until I started looking at it when I heard about the new song that he has out. But a security guard jumped up there to pull him off stage, and he was hit by gunfire and died. So what does that tell you? That the gunman didn't care who Jason Aldean was. He was going to kill him too, and probably could have, right? But the security guard died. Jason Aldean did post on social media how bad that bothered him, and he's so grateful. You know. Of course, you're going to feel a certain way about, hey, this person, you know, risked their lives to save mine. But this is the song. And I'm going to play it as much as I really don't want to, but I have to play it. And I already asked you guys earlier, if you Google the lyrics, listen to the lyrics to this song. But I'm going to play it and let you guys listen to it and hear your opinion about this song. This is Jason Aldean. Try That in a Small Town. We'll be right back.
Sucker punched somebody on a sidewalk. Carjacking old lady at a red light. Pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think it's cool, act a fool if you like. Cut out a cop, spit in his face. Stomp on the flag and light it up. Yeah, you think it's tough. Well, try that in a small town. See how far you make it there. My granddad gave me. They say one day they're gonna round up. Well, that shit might fly in the city. Good luck. Try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long for you to find out. I recommend you don't.
Back to TMGS, the Michael Gay Show, broadcasting live from the ATL, Atlanta, Georgia. That was the new single by an artist known as Jason Aldean, or Aldean. Single called Try That in a Small Town.
Now, I don't know if you guys took a look at the lyrics. You can pull them up. You can Google them. But this is pretty deep, and a lot of folks feel like this is preaching for you to be a vigilante, right?
It's like you have to read between the lines. He's not saying anything that's like being he's not coming out saying that people need to be a vigilante, but you have to read between the lines on the things he's saying about trying in a small town. Yeah.
Well, let me just go over a couple of lyrics if you didn't catch it, okay?
No,
Well, I'm saying for anyone else who didn't catch it. It says, sucker punch somebody on the sidewalk, carjack an old lady at a red light. Pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store. You think it's cool? Well, act a fool if you like. Cuss out a cop, spit in his face, stomp on the flag, and light it up. Yeah, you think you're tough. Well, try that in a small town. See how far you make it down the road. Around here, we take care of our own. You cross that line, it won't take long for you to find out. I recommend you don't try that in a small town. That's a threat. Technically, it is. Basically, that's a threat. You get your ass beat good, is really what he's saying.
Read the next line, Michael.
I'm sorry?
I said read the next line.
Oh, the next line says, got a gun that my granddad gave me. They say one day they're going to round up. Well, that shit might fly in the city. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
And then what gets me, too, it goes into the chorus, try that in a small town. Well, you know what? We've talked about small towns many a times, but when people think of small towns, they don't think of small black community towns. They think of small country towns. Think about the whole thing of country, right? And this is the country in Western Arkansas. The small towns that black folks had, the majority of them are the ones from history. And we already know, you know, Black Wall Street. We know about up in what was the name of the town? Not Victorville. It was up here north of us in Georgia, where they flooded that whole town, and that's where we have Lake Lanier now. Well, they had a small town. It don't exist. But CMT, Country Music Television, removed this video from their playlist. And some people are still having problems with that.
Removed it, the video? Because of some of the things they showed in the video, like Black Lives Matter. Yeah.
Right. There were some clips of Black Lives Matter. I did see the clip where this white woman was cussing and spit in the cop's face, okay? They did have some assaults from white folks and everything, but they did have a lot of black-on-black stuff or city stuff, okay, shown, you know, the clips shown in it. But I see a hand up, and I know who this is, and I'm going to open up their mic. And welcome, and thank you for joining us. It's Officer Crenshaw.
Hey, Crenshaw. Long time
no see. Hey, Janet. Hey, Mike. Timon, if you're still there. I've been listening. As a black man, I can actually say I love that song because you can look at it multiple ways. And growing up, I listened to all types of music. But
mm-hmm.
I don't think he's making a threat in that song.
Mm-mm.
I think what he's doing is he's telling people that if you come to small areas, neighborhoods, you know, hoods, small towns, you know, that we're going to F you up. You come in here doing that. We're not going to wait on the police to try to find you. But when you come to big crowds, when you come into areas where there's a big crowds and people are trying to entertain and enjoy themselves, you can get away with the stuff that you're doing. But if you come to a small town, you're going to get caught and you're not going to make it out.
Mm-hmm.
So don't try it.
Okay, that was a different take.
To me, it was a very, it was a very good song. Even the verse about, you know, my granddad gave me the gun, da 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 da. You know, I like that because everybody's grandparents gave them a gun, and I don't mean a gun literally. You know, I mean advice, wisdom, knowledge on how to protect and defend yourself.
Well, in all honesty, Crenshaw, in all honesty, I don't think that, I'm not trying to take it out of context, but clearly it says, got a gun that my granddad gave me.
Come on, dude.
I don't think he was saying he gave him advice. He said, got a gun that my granddad gave me. I'm thinking physically. Got a gun, and
right.
Then it goes on to say,
"We know
they say
we know
they're going to round up."
We know he's saying a shotgun on the porch in Tennessee. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, read between the lines.
The advice that our grandparents gave us was also a weapon. Is what I'm saying. So all I'm saying is yes. The way he worded it might have been wrong, but I like the song is what I'm saying. I like the way he put it out because the police can't do it all. So somehow it's going to have to go back to the neighborhood and the people on the street. If you see something, say something, act. You know, do something. You know, if some
well,
of the
I mean,
people
the thing
would have...
that we're, okay, the only thing I can say is this. Okay, and I want you to continue that where. Now, you know, I mean, I grew up listening to all kinds of music, country, western, rock and roll. I had no choice but to listen to rock and roll because one of my older brothers, that's all he played, you know, and
right.
I'm not one to turn the channel, right? So, yeah, I grew
right.
up to all kinds. I listened to classical. But the things that were... And the whole thing is that where CMT, Country Music Television, pulled the video because, as Janet mentioned, some of the clips in the video is pretty much showing Black Lives Matter and crimes within the city. And he definitely mentions that might work in the city, right?
Right.
And so, you know, in that sense. And, again, I like the music. I think the music to it. I like it, and
right.
I think one of the riffs he uses in it is taken from one of Prince's songs, and I'll compare that later on in the show. You'll hear a guitar riff in there that's definitely,
right.
in my opinion, is a riff.
Well,
no one owns everything.
I haven't seen the video, so I don't know. You know, once I see
the
video and then put the lyrics together, then I'll know, you know, his actual mindset. On that. I haven't seen the video.
Now, let me tell you something else about the video. Janet, you know about this, right? You know where that video was shot?
Yeah,
it was shot at a courthouse. It was shot at a courthouse.
They didn't like that video. It was shot at the courthouse showing the Capitol.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, the thing is that where the governor said he, you know, He allowed it, but he didn't know, you know, the whole particulars about it. But this was shot at a courthouse or the Capitol. I could pull that up. Where a young man was lynched. A black man was lynched.
See? That's
so,
what I'm saying. I have to see the video, and then I can put the lyrics and the words and the video to his mindset and be able to see exactly how he was speaking. But as far as me just hearing the song, the lyrics of it, the music, I like it. But I'll make a decision or a judgment based on everything later on.
Okay.
You know, I think...
And I like yours.
And I'm saying that because of what we're going through right now with Trump and DeSantis and everybody. I mean, DeSantis is pretty much taking us back to where he's basically saying... We're property.
Yes.
You know, we're like a lawnmower or a tractor. You know,
mm-hmm.
you put oil in it and sharpen the blades. So that was a benefit to the lawnmower or the tractor, but it was a benefit for who? For them, so they could continue to do what they wanted to do. So
mm-hmm.
that's why I said I have to put it. I have to put it all together, in you know, to be able to make a judgment on it. But just hearing the song, I like the song.
Okay. All right. So let me let me make this very clear for everyone that's listening, because I see a lot of folks on the board there probably wondering. I'm trying to see if I can pull up this information to tell you where this video was shot and the history of it and why there's so much controversy about this particular video. So let me see if I can pull up the information. Give me a minute now. I'll pull it up. But I think that is the main focus on
well,
this.
What Michael,
of the location,
I know one of the...
Excuse me?
They were saying, I was reading one of the articles I sent you, you were saying why the video was so divisive, and it's because he showed Black Lives Matter protesting and some violence and you know, like you mentioned, the Capitol and stuff, you know. They said because of the things that he put in the video, that's why they took it down.
Okay, let me try to pull that up. But I definitely want to share the location, so because I see there's, as I was saying, that there's people on the board that might want to take a look at this and see the story behind that. One moment.
So they're saying that his views towards certain things are racist? Is that what they're saying?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they're trying to say. Yeah.
Okay. So if that's the case, and I don't know because, like, I haven't seen the video, if that's the case, then basically what he's doing is bad because he's separating everybody. But if you look at all that's going on, the people doing the mass shootings and different things like that are not part of those groups that he's against.
Right.
You know. But to me, the song itself sounds like he's saying pretty much the neighborhood has got to take care of themselves. And this is
me
hearing the song because the police is not going to be able to do anything. You
so
know,
let me run this by
like
you
Capitol
guys.
Police.
Okay, so let me run this by you guys real quick, okay? And here's the story. All right. And I think that this is the gist of the whole thing and the backlash of the video is it says here from the New York Times, the history of the lynching site where Jason Aldean filmed a music video. Henry Schultz, an 18-year-old black man, was hanged outside the Murray County Courthouse in Tennessee in 1927 after he was falsely accused of attacking a white girl. Okay? It goes on to say, the new video for the country singer Jason Aldean's song, Try That in a Small Town, takes place outside a courthouse in Tennessee where nearly a century ago an 18-year-old black man was attacked by a mob and lynched. Mr. Aldean was criticized after releasing the video, which included violent news footage of looting and unrest during protests in American cities. Country Music Television pulled the video this week, okay, after accusations surfaced on social media that its lyrics and message were offensive. Quote, I think there is a lack of sensitivity using that courthouse as a prop, said Cheryl L. Keyes, chair of the Department of African American Studies and a professor of, I'm not going to be able to say this, ethnomusicology at UCLA. Correct me if I said that wrong, but the teenager who was lynched, Henry Colt, had traveled from his home in Coffee County, Tennessee, where he worked in road construction to visit his grandfather in nearby Murray County on November 11th of 1927. Armistice Day, as it was known at the time, or Veterans Day, which we know it as today, okay? While he was there, he was accused falsely, they keep saying falsely, historians now believe, of raping a 16-year-old white girl. According to an account in Lynching and Frame Up in Tennessee, a book by Robert Miner that was published in 1946, the girl's family called the county sheriff, who responded by rounding up a pack of bloodhounds to track down the girl's attacker. Before the hounds arrived, however, a group of white people went to Mr. Schultz's grandfather's house, called out Mr. Schultz, and took him to the girl, who did not identify him as her attacker, according to Mr. Miner's book. Once the hounds were brought in, they were given the scent on a street called Hicks Lane, where the attack was alleged to have taken place, but the scent did not lead the dogs to Mr. Schultz's grandfather's house. Instead, the trail faded out in another direction, Mr. Miner wrote, and the girl again said she did not recognize Henry Schultz as her assailant. One man, however, announced that he had seen Mr. Schultz returning to his grandfather's home from the direction of Hicks Lane. Mr. Schultz's arms were tied with ropes, and he was led away. Eventually, he was turned over to the sheriff, who arrested him. After Mr. Schultz was brought to the jail, a cook there told him to pray because, quote, the mob is going to lynch you, according to Mr. Miner's book. And even Mr. Schultz went on to say, I know they are. According to Mr. Miner's account, a mob of white men gathered outside of the jail demanding the keys. The sheriff's wife, with whom the sheriff had left the keys, initially refused because she believed Mr. Schultz was innocent. The mob attempted to enter the jail twice and failed, according to a contemporaneous account of the episode in Tennessean. One member of the mob left and returned with a sledgehammer and began beating the jailhouse door with it. Terrified that the mob would dynamite the jailhouse, the sheriff's wife relented, and the first deputy sheriff unlocked the door. Mr. Schultz was beaten with a sledgehammer and dragged out of the jail. The mob used a rope to tie him to the bumper of a car and dragged him to the Murray County Courthouse in Columbia, Tennessee, where they hanged him from a window, according to news reports. There were about 250 men in the mob, according to research from the University of North Carolina. Two pastors, two lawyers, and James I. Finney, the editor of the Tennessean, had begged members of the mob to spare Mr. Schultz's life, but to no avail. The executive committee of a body called the Tennessee Interracial Commission later said in a statement that all available information indicates that the sheriff of Murray County failed to meet his obligations as an officer. Okay, so I know that was a long read, but I think that's what people are looking at, is that this video was shot, and you put in these clips of unrest in inner cities when you're talking about trying in a small town. Well, hell, you hung an innocent man in a freaking small town, an innocent 18-year-old man in a small town, according to the records. So why would you use that backdrop is the question I think everybody is wondering. And as a recording artist, you have the right, freedom of speech, I'm sure, but then CMT has the right to accept or deny your creativity. But this was, in my opinion, a bad decision on Jason Aldean's part to use that particular location for his creative, you know, artist.
Well, did he know the history, or his people who set up things for him, did they know or find out the history?
Yeah,
I think he
and,
did.
If they did, then he's wrong. If they didn't, then he needs to start firing some people if he's not with that mindset.
Well, here's the thing, though, Crenshaw, is that where, okay, in the process, you gotta look at it of where, okay, whoever set up the video, the location, the storyline, you know, all that, you have to put together a story of what this, of the, I mean, that's how, you know, it works. I know I would question it. And then even after the fact, if he found out later that, well, you know, are you aware of what happened here? And then you're told, I would be more than happy to say, okay, well, you know what? I can reshoot another video because you got the money to do it.
All right?
You got the money to do it. But according to some of the stories that I've read and his response to it, he feels like there's nothing wrong with it. Well, you can look that up.
And he, after learning the history, he feels that way.
Read what his response was. That's
okay.
All I can say. Read what his response
was. I'm gonna go and pull up everything. Like I said, I don't want to make a judgment on somebody without knowing everything. I haven't seen the video. I'm just now learning the history of that from what you just said. So then I'll be able to read, looking at him as he's singing. Looking at him as he's singing. I'll be able to read his complete mindset on how he actually felt about what he was singing.
And again, like you said, watch the video, read the lyrics, pull up the lyrics. You can Google the lyrics and then read his response to it. And individuals, well, we already talked enough about Donald Trump. He had a response to it. Everybody has a response. You know?
Even DeSantis.
And I feel like, and again, even DeSantis. But the thing is that where, like you said, I like the music. You know, I mean, I have to hand it to the music is good. But when you look at the video and you see how it's depicted, And again, the location, it doesn't work well with me, though. Once I mean,
if we wasn't in the world that we're in today, then I would be able to actually enjoy it. So I'm going to look at everything to determine if I want it as far as my dialogue in my brain for a song that I want to listen to. So once I decipher that.
But when you use a term like try that in a small town, you know what that makes me think? And I'm being honest. It makes me think that you're saying try that in a small white neighborhood. Try that in one of these small country towns. Try that over it, you know, and even in the lyrics, you know, see how
but
far
that's
you
the
get.
That's the perception that we put on certain things. It's just like growing up in the hood. You know, you're not going to come in. And I grew up in East Lake Meadows when it was East Lake Meadows before we moved to the South Side. You're not going to come in East Lake Meadows and do certain things that you would do outside of East Lake Meadows because East Lake Meadows was going to capture you and handle you.
How old are you now, sir? You're in your 60s, right? You're in your 60s just like me, right? But we didn't talk about shooting anybody, though. You got a beat down, but here, got a gun that my granddad gave me. They say one day they're going to round up. Well, that shit might fly in the city. Good luck. See,
you got to remember the white mindset, though. The white mindset was their granddad did pass them down guns. The black mindset was our grandparents passed us down wisdom and knowledge on how to deal with certain things.
Now, let me give you another line here, though.
Okay.
And this is you tell me what you think about this. This is another line from the song. Okay, after the chorus, it says, full of good old boys, raised up right. If you're looking for a fight, try that in a small town.
Now, see, that sounds
Now. Full of good old boys.
That sounds redneckish right there.
Hell yeah, it does.
All that sounds redneckish. So hearing that line also has to do with the environment you grew up in. Think of 20 years ago. He's singing full of good old boys, but 20 years ago, they're rapping about thugs, street. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's all with the embracement or the embroider of how you was raised up. So I'm not going to judge him yet.
They're saying, the Democrats are saying it's a heinous song that is, wait a minute, let me get back to it. They said that it's a heinous song calling for racist violence.
Based on the video or just the song?
The song itself, they're saying, because of some of the things he's saying in the song. But the video, when you put the two together and they got little splashes of Black Lives Matters and other protests that people did, like George Floyd or whatever, you know, like Mike said, the courthouse, you know, you're putting all these things together, and that's what's making it look like it's racist. You know,
right, okay. Because the song itself, not seeing the video, sounds, like Mike said earlier, vigilante. We're going to handle it.
Exactly.
You know? So, and like I said, I haven't seen the video.
Now, here's the thing. If you think about what I just read, was the true story. Vigilantes went and got that boy out of jail and killed him. He didn't have a chance.
Right.
He was not brought before a judge. He was not tried. That was a vigilante killing of an innocent individual.
Right.
See, so you see where I'm going with this? So that
I do.
If Jason,
can I finish?
Let me finish for a minute. Let me finish real quick, and I'll let everybody respond. If Jason Aldean, whether he knew it in advance or found out later, he has to look at, or at least I would have looked at, the lyrics that I wrote for this song and the history of what happened at that courthouse. Is going to be an issue. There will be an issue. And obviously it came to a head, and Country Music Television said, oh, we got to pull this. And they did.
Right.
And I'm glad that they did. You know? And remember, this is the same artist who was on stage during the Las Vegas shooting, which is, I believe, this is the worst mass murder in U.S. history. Outside of 9/11, but I'm talking about domestic, not international. Domestic-wise, I believe this is listed now as the worst, because what was it, Janet? 58 people were killed, 500 were injured, and he was on that stage the moment those guns went off, and a security guard ran up there, and he got shot. Come on now.
Yeah, I heard you say that.
Yeah.
And
I'm reading the article. They said in 2015, he dressed his kids in anti-Joe Biden attire, and he went trick-or-treating in blackface.
Okay.
The singer did?
Yeah, the singer did. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh,
and that was in 2015.
There you go.
So basically, everything he did, if that's the case, it was racist. He was pretty much saying in his song, if you come to a white neighborhood and do that, we're going to handle you, whether it's a small town white neighborhood or a big town white neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
What is the old saying? The proof is in the damn pudding. There's the proof right there.
Well, I'm
just
sorry,
like
Mike. I'm not Bill Cosby. I'm not Bill Cosby. I don't have no chocolate pudding.
Yeah. I just sent you the articles, though, that I sent Mike those articles earlier. Yeah. And the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I just read
I want to see the video still.
You
I want to see the video still because, yeah, I'm going
to
pull it up. Because I was sitting here with my with my wife, and we were looking at this stuff that DeSantis was doing, and we're going, what the hell is wrong with him? You know, this is what you want to teach. You want to get rid of black history, but you want to turn around and teach that slavery was prosperous for slaves?
Yeah, we benefited from learning certain things.
So we're black people are considered property, because, like your horse. You know, you feed your horse.
Yeah, but hold on a minute. Let me intervene on that one because, see, it was prosperous, but not for black people. You know who it was prosperous for? White folks.
The slave.
Because
the slave
what black people did, black people, what black people did, they invented stuff to make their work easier. And then their inventions were stolen and patented by other individuals whose name brands we buy every freaking day.
But it wasn't all black people, Michael. Just a few.
No, I'm not saying all. I never said all. I'm saying quite a few.
It's just like even now.
Your boss can say, "Hey, look, this needs to get done. I don't care how you get it done, just get it done." Imagine back in that time, get this done.
Well,
otherwise, you'll suffer
the thing,
consequences.
There was a lot of black people who created things
that were taken from them. And the white individuals, the slave masters, took that product and said, "Hey, okay, this could be pretty profitable for me, not you." You understand
right.
what I'm saying? So when DeSantis tries to say, "Oh well, slavery was prosperous, was good for black folks," no, it wasn't. You
Did
cannot
he ever
tell
watch
me
Roots?
That.
Did he
yeah,
ever
watch Roots.
Roots and wonder why Kunta Kinte kept trying to run away to where they had to cut his damn foot off?
Of course,
it wasn't a benefit.
I don't know if he has, but I can't see how that was beneficial to Kunta Kinte. But I hope you guys are understanding my point. Is that where?
Yeah.
How can you say it was beneficial to black people? No, it wasn't. It was more beneficial to white people. Again, I will say. There are a lot of brands that you buy every day. There are a lot of brands of major companies out there that own many of patents, and you purchase their product every day. But it was a creation of your ancestors who were slaves who never got a dime of that. We all know the true story about Jack Daniels. For 150 years, they never told us the truth. But that mash
yeah,
was created
you remember,
by black
people. Do you remember the situation about the Fila tennis shoes in the late 70s?
No,
yeah.
I don't recall that.
Remember where, you know, what was it? Chuck Connors was popular, you know, the tennis shoes, Puma and all of that. Maybe I'm getting his name
Chuck
wrong.
Taylor's,
yeah, Chuck Connors
mean,
is the you mean
Chuck,
Chuck
you mean Chuck Taylor's. Yeah.
Right.
And when you said Chuck Connors, I was like, "You talking about the rifleman?" Wait a minute. What the hell he got to do with tennis shoes?
Yeah. So Fila decided to bring their shoe out. But remember, if you cut the sole off, it was pictures of black people being hung in the bottom
I never
of the
heard
shoe
that.
If you cut the sole off. So
I never
Fila didn't make a lot of money back then. Mm-hmm. But they were trying to jump on that bandwagon because a lot of the tennis shoes that were coming out were invented and created and designed by black people.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can believe that. I can definitely believe that.
So Fila was like supposedly music. Sponsored. They were supposedly sponsored by the KKK. And that's how they were able to get those pictures in the soles.
Hmm.
No, I never heard that story. I'll have to look that one up.
This was in the late 70s, from like 78 to 80, is when mm-hmm. all that was happening, and that came out about Fila tennis shoes.
Okay, I never heard that. Hey, let me say this real quick for the folks that are on the board, folks in the chat room. If you have a question or comment, go ahead and post it in the chat room. Type it up. I will read it on the air. If you are on the board listening through your phone line, you know all you have to do is hit the number one, okay, because we have about maybe a little less than 20 minutes left on the show. Hit the number one if you have a question or comment on today's show. And I truly appreciate you tuning in. And it's funny, you accidentally said Chuck Connors, you know, he played in Roots also at his old ass age. You know, he was an actor in Roots, which, of course, we all know was an all-star cast of black and white when that movie was released. So, and you know what, I'm sorry, when Roots came out, I was young, and I used to love him as the Rifleman, but when he played the character he played, I was like, oh, I can't stand him, you know, but... You know, it's character
well,
acting.
I mean, that's just like when they came out with Planet of the Apes. Most mm-hmm. of the main characters that were playing apes, even though a lot of white people look at us as coming from apes, were white people.
Mm-hmm.
Roddy McDowell, which was one of the most famous actors ever back then, played one of the main characters.
Mm-hmm. He played Cornelius.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
He played the scientist. Kim Hunter was his wife. Her character was Zero. Oh yeah, I'm a Planet of the Apes fan. I've seen every single one of the movies, every one of them. You know, and it's interesting.
Too.
Like you just were saying, it was a very interesting trilogy. Well, more than a trilogy. I mean, I think there was like five of the original ones, and then later on. They came up with the next, three or four on the more modern day of versions. I was a big time. In fact, it scared the hell out of me, to be honest. The very first one, if you guys remember that one scene where, you know, the people are in the field and they're running from the apes, but you don't see the apes yet, right? But that one scene where they showed where that one ape, he's on the horse and he turns around and they zoom in on his face, that scared the crap out of me. I was like, I was like, damn. Mind you, that was in 1960-something. Okay, I was like, 8 years old, I guess, when I saw the movie.
Yeah.
So, that was a shocker for me when I was a kid. All right, so we just got a little bit of time left. Any last final thoughts on the topic for today? We talked about DeSantis. We talked about Donald Trump. We talked about the music. Any last thoughts about it? Nope. Yep.
Well, Donald Trump's going to end up in jail. And I was listening earlier because I was in the middle of doing some stuff, so I was kind of listening. And mm-hmm. made the comment about why it was taking so long. And mm-hmm. you got to remember, anything worthwhile is worth waiting for.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
well,
so
the defense is trying to
had,
drag
if
it
they
out.
Had rushed through it, think about it. If you're working on a car and you rush through an oil change, you might not tighten down the drain plug good enough. So now all your oil drains out and you blow your motor. So I'm not mad at Smith for taking time and crossing his T's and dotting his I's, because he's going to make sure that it's no way that Mr. T. Rump can get out of this.
Well, I think also that I think what we also mentioned is that Trump wants, well, he's hoping by him being so far ahead in the polls as far as in Republican goes, that, you know, it'll hold off until after the election and that he will become president again, which we already discussed, of where, you know, what was it, Janet, was saying, what Beck and Spanish is hoping. But then, like,
right.
Timon said, you know, but they can't do that.
Right. Well, look, she said it in May. So she kind of played in between. But I'm telling you, Jack Smith was ready to go in December. So you're looking at 3 weeks to maybe a month after the trial starts to where the prosecutors rest their case.
Mm-hmm.
So May, June, Donald Trump will be taking a walk down Hershey Highway in whatever penitentiary they want to send him to.
Okay. And
you
heard it here
first,
you guys. On the TMZS, Officer Crenshaw, it said Hershey Highway. Okay.
Well, Trump wants people to think that he's not touchable. That, you know, like you said, Fifth, and you said it, Michael, Fifth Avenue, he can shoot somebody and get away with it. You know, so he's
mm-hmm.
still banking on the fact that the people will be in an uproar if they do something to him.
Right.
But the law is the law. And if we let him get away with it, then that means we are no longer a democracy because we let somebody be above the law.
You know, nobody was prepared for January 6th. So the Capitol Police of Washington, D.C., which is the headquarters for the President of the United States, they were relying on Secret Service to back them up. They weren't given orders that if there's a breach of headquarters, you take them out. I guarantee you now, they've been given orders that if there's a breach of that headquarters in that same manner, you know, you start firing off some rounds, people coming your way are going to turn around and start going the other way if they're not prepared to fire rounds back.
Okay.
That's your headquarters. That's your commander-in-chief base.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they might not do it for the other capitals, but they're going to do it for Washington, D.C.
Let me do this real quick. We'll be right back.
What's up, y'all? This is St. James, and you're listening to TMGS, The Michael Gay Show. Tune in every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for interesting topics and awesome music. Now back to the show.
Thank you, St. James. Now back to the last 12 minutes that we have. Okay, so, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I really feel like it's going to be interesting because, I mean, we're looking at what? Four indictments, you know, he's looking at four, I think, indictments.
Oh, it's
going to
be more than
well,
that.
In the meantime, he's looking at four.
And we have a president that's a thief, Michael. I mean, Israel, since 2019, been trying to get these artifact lamps back that was supposed to be for a candlelighting ceremony. How did they end up at Mar-a-Lago?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll find out an answer soon. You know, that's interesting. I was not aware of that, to be honest. I really wasn't aware of that. Okay, so, and I said that we only have a few more minutes left, but you guys heard about this story of this woman who claimed she was kidnapped. She saw a little kid on the side of the road. Now, I don't know the whole story. Have you guys heard about that?
In Alabama?
No. Well, they're not even saying what happened to the lady. Or, I mean, they just said she's back home, but they're not telling what went wrong, what happened.
Okay.
To a degree, I think they're saying that from what I've been hearing, that she made it up because they checked her search engines on the internet and the things that she was researching as far as Amber calls and different things like that, because supposedly, I don't know, she stole some money from her job.
Okay. Yeah, I don't
know
about that.
And that's just things that that's some things that the police chief was bringing up, that the job was missing money. They checked her internet search engines, and she was researching Amber calls and different things of that nature prior to her making that 911 phone call.
Okay. Now, let me tell you guys another story real quick before we go. Now, this one I think is hilarious. You know, like Forrest Gump said, stupid is what stupid does, right? So what happens is that here's a fire at a house, and the fire trucks come, the news folks come and everything, and they talk to the neighbors, and they said, did you hear anything? She said, no, I didn't hear nothing. She said, I did smell smoke, and next thing I know, I heard the fire trucks coming, and you know, I guess they were putting it out. Well, the house that caught on fire, the guy who owned the house, his parents owned the house. His mother, his father, and his sister all lived there, and all, unfortunately, were deceased. They passed away. So he was in a situation now because, you know, he couldn't keep the lights and the water and gas on, so he started renting out rooms, right? So when he went out the rooms, he started getting undesirables renting the rooms, and that were drug users and everything, and he started using drugs and realized, you know, this is not me, blah, blah, blah. So he goes to rehab, and later on, he pretty much the house is abandoned, right? And so, again, the house catches on fire and everything, and he gets his life in order, and then his ex-wife, they get back together, and his ex-wife says, well, you know what? The neighbor next door has cameras. Maybe, you know, they could take a look at her video and see how it happened. Well, lo and behold, the police come to her about the cameras. She denies them access to them. So, of course, this clicks in their head. They get a court order and get the cameras. You guys can Google it. I'm not making this shit up. They got her on camera in her yard shooting into the side garage doors. Not once, but twice. And then on the same day, they have her on camera with a big stick with a rag wrapped around it that she drenched with something, set on fire, and threw it over her fence inside the garage door, which in turn sets the whole damn house on fire. Okay.
This was the neighbor?
The neighbor, the lady that the police interviewed, I'm sorry, the news interviewed, I told you that, you know, when the news folks came, they interviewed her, and she said all she smelled was smoke. She didn't hear anything. She's the one who did it. She set the house on fire because she was pissed off. Because after the guy left, there were people still going to the property to get high, you know, and she got mad about that. His concern when his ex-wife said, check out the neighbor's cameras. I know our neighbor has cameras. Maybe. They had no clue she had anything to do with it at all. No clue. But she just remembered. Yeah, she's got cameras. Maybe something will lead to who did this. How the hell are you so damn stupid to shoot into a house, set the house on fire, and you recording your own damn self? How are you that stupid? You got security cameras recording your ass.
She probably figured they wouldn't have probable cause to seize her video.
Ah, but they got a court order. That's how they got it. And she had a passcode, and she didn't give up the passcode. She wouldn't give up the passcode.
But based on what probable cause?
Yeah, but still. It's
just like if you're walking down the street and I stop you, if I don't have probable cause to search you, I got to let you keep walking.
But for her to impede an investigation? But for her to impede an investigation, and it's clear, but here's the thing, though, Phil Crenshaw, if they have a, if they have enough evidence to prove that they could probably pull up something, because keep in mind, that camera was pointing directly at the source where that fire started. So, yes.
Right, but think of this. If I'm out in my yard and my cameras are video recording me having sex with my puppies or my goat or whatever I want to have with, which is bestiality, and I know it's on that camera, I don't have to give them to you. So me telling you no is still not probable cause that I had anything to do with that fire.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want you to see what I do as far as extracurricular activities.
No, but obviously in this case, okay, I'm just going to add a couple more minutes because we do have to wrap it up. But obviously in this case, a judge felt like, because keep in mind, like I said already, it is clear as day that where she threw I guess you could say like a Molotov cocktail into the side door, that camera is pointing directly at that door, okay, of the residence that caught on fire. So let's look at it this way. The fire investigators take a look at it and say, okay, this is the source. This is where it started. And so then here they're looking at, well, that camera has to have something on it for us to see who did this.
Right, but she
now,
still doesn't have to turn it over,
told,
even
now,
though
now,
they
now,
determined.
Now, wait a minute. Hold on. You were talking about goats and dogs. We're not talking about goats and dogs. We're talking about the fact that we're, as you well know, that, you know, whenever there's a shooting in the streets or whatever, they go to, what, local convenience stores and stuff like that, and they ask, can they see their, you know, their information. Now, if you're impeding
right.
an investigation, you can go to a judge and get a court order, and that's what they
got to be able to. They got to be able to articulate exactly how I'm impeding that investigation, just based on my camera position. So unless the arson investigator determines,
you are impeding it if it's obvious. If it's obvious that your camera works, and that your camera is pointing directly at that particular area where they do know after the arson investigation that is the point of the start of the fire, then you are impeding an investigation.
But
they know already.
What if I told them, oh, they don't work, they're just dummy cameras, and then they still go and get a warrant?
And
they can't do that.
Yep, they still go get a warrant.
They had to have a little bit more.
Well, obviously they were able
to convince a judge.
Obviously they were able. Well, you know what? It was probably even more than that, because here's another fact I didn't mention, is that the fact that the woman had called the cops on that residence over 25 times in 2 years. So that's probably a little bit
more. And told them that she's got them on camera doing stuff.
No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying
that's probably what she's done.
Yeah.
And that's how they were able to convince a judge to give them the warrant.
Yeah, now that could be possible. To get the warrant. That could have been possible. Yeah, you're right about that. I see somebody else waving. I'm going to go ahead and open up the mic. I'm going to add about 5 more minutes to the show. 404-908 is waving their hands. Welcome. Hello.
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah.
Who's calling?
How y'all doing? Yeah, this is Nas. How y'all doing?
I'm sorry, this is who?
This is Nas. How y'all doing?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. I'm sitting here listening, and look, like, you're 100% right. Like, yeah. It's not really that big of a deal for them to be able to get access to a judge. But beyond that, that's probably because they were trying to do it the fastest way. Beyond that, whoever your provider is, running your Ethernet cable or whatever service you're using to get access and use those cameras, they can go beyond you and go straight to that company and get it. Matter of fact, the girl with the hoax last week, that's how they were able to get her Google searches, because these companies, like, look, when you sign terms and conditions or whatever thing you sign up with any company, it is not hard for them to go to that company, put a little pressure on, and they will release private information. Like, this has been going on for years. So even if, you know, she kept bucking with them about those cameras, please believe that whatever parent company she was using or provider, they would have gotten that information.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true, because I think Ring just sent something out that they're working with the police. So, yeah, he's right about that.
Yeah. Well, they have a neighborhood watch through with Ring. I mean, they in fact, even here in Georgia, I'm sure you've heard of this, Officer Crenshaw, and also Janet. They want you to allow them to connect with your service. In case something happens in your neighborhood, they get the direct video. They don't have to come out and get it. It's sent directly to them.
Yeah.
You're connected.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I forgot
about
that.
So it's nothing new. Mm-hmm. It's nothing new.
That's why I don't have no Ring cameras in my house. That way they can't see nothing.
You got them outside. I'm not indoors.
I got them outside. I don't have them inside.
Well, good luck on that, brother, because the limitations of what those things can view, we have no idea. The limitations of how far that mic can hit, we have no idea. And let's just say if you're in trouble, more than likely we're going to find out those things can do a lot more than what we are told. To the song you guys talked about earlier, I missed it. Man, this country song about dreaming about sundown towns, like, this part is so funny just because he could have got away with it if he had just wrapped it up in patriotism and tied it to the flag or whatever. But no, this dude went full mask off Klansman where he's talking about, you know, others and outsiders, and it made it obvious
try
what the song was about.
Town, right. Mm-hmm. It's called Try That in a Small Town, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. So you know, and again, I say that, you know. Well, again, you know, if you haven't seen the video, I let everybody, I mean, I know some folks probably say, I don't want to watch it then. No, watch the video. Do the research of the location of the video where it was shot, like I said. If he had no idea of the history of what had happened at that courthouse, so be it. But if he found out later and after, you know, the whole uproar came, he shouldn't kept fighting for it to keep going. You know, you have to look at it's a sensitive thing. And as Janet said, you look at the video and you see a lot of, you know, it's based on stuff that happens in the inner city, Black Lives movement, protests and all that type of stuff. And again, I'll say this, right, back in my day, I lived in a small community called Altadena. We didn't have guns like they have now, which in the song he talks about, you know, my daddy gave him a gun. No, we fought it out. You had to go fist to fist. Nobody, or either you were using chains and bumper jacks. That's how you got down back in my day. Okay? There was no shooting. So,
yeah. And then it's just,
that this
it's
is
just so
on,
weird.
This is,
No, I'm sorry, man. I wasn't trying to interrupt you.
Yeah, this is just, you know, like a vigilante type thing. Hey, look, we got to get on out of here. Our 2 hours are up. We'll be back next Saturday.
Right.
I thank each and every one of you guys for tuning in. Make sure you tune in a little earlier into the conversation because we truly appreciate you. For the folks in the chat room, thank you for joining us and listening there. People online, and I see that Gwen is here from Birmingham, Alabama. Thank you, Gwen. There's another Birmingham call, and there was another Birmingham call that chimed in to the show. So I really appreciate you guys tuning in. Next time, make sure you hit the number one. Or go into the chat room. My name is Mike Gave, my co-host Janet Davis, Officer Crenshaw, and also Time and Ship. And we'll see you guys next Saturday, okay? Have a great remainder of your weekend. God bless the rest of the week. And coming up, I'm going to have to do a rebroadcast because there's a lot of big shows that are coming here in Atlanta. And I've been invited to attend, so there's a couple of shows coming up back-to-back. Let's see, there's one, I think it's on the 8th, and one on the 27th. Thank God they're on Saturdays. So one I'm still having, I'm not really sure I want to go to this one, but I'll make a decision soon. But I will be doing some rebroadcasts from time to time. And then, Parliament Funkadelic. coming to town. But that's not on a Saturday. That's on a Tuesday. But anyway, tune in next Saturday. We're here with you all the time. TMGS, Michael Gay Show. Have a great night. Peace. We're out of here.
Good night.